Okay, we have two more from this morning. 758.
Accept guaranteed maximum price of $8,401,596 from Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc. for the construction of the Beach Park project.
Ritz.
Thank you. The Lewittville View Park. We're now calling it Lewittville View. And I'm going to turn it over to our staff to give us a presentation on this contract.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hills and members of council. My name is Lauren McGuire. I'm the capital projects team manager from Portland Parks. And with me is Christine Moody, our chief procurement officer, and Britta Herwig, our capital projects manager 3 for the project. We're here today to tell you about the exciting new development in East Portland and to request council to accept the guaranteed maximum price of $3,401,596 from Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc., the construction manager general contractor for the Lewitt View construction project.
I think it's $8 million, not $3.
$8
million? Yeah. Isn't that what's in the title?
$8,401,000.
I'm sorry, I thought I heard three.
596.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You're panicking now.
Yeah, right.
The map indicates the location of the 16-acre Lewitt View Park in the Argay neighborhood at Northeast 131st Avenue and Beach Road, north of I-84 in East Portland. The park is immediately adjacent to Shaver Elementary School and resides in a community with a highly diverse and growing number of children. The development of the park will help address the deficiencies in park facilities in this area according to the 2009 master plan. The park is funded by system development charges. The park, formerly known as Beach Park, as the commissioner said, has gone through a community naming process and has the new name of Lewitt View Park, which is a Native American name for the iconic Mount St. Helens, which is visible from the park. Park project manager Britta Herwig, working with Tewing Studio, has developed an excellent neighborhood design for the parcel. The main features of the park include a children's play area with a fog water feature, a community garden, picnic shelter and community gathering area, youth active play fields and an open lawn area, a skate spot, a restroom, walking trails and increased bicycle and pedestrian connectivity, a fenced off-leash dog park, and a parking lot to support the park features. The park will help meet the current and future needs of the city, of this area of the city, by adding 964 households 65 households, excuse me, to be served by the park within walking distance of a half a mile radius. The park also has many attractive landscape features, including stormwater natural areas to increase habitat and water quality. There's been an extensive community outreach process in the creation of the design, including 5 community benefits plan meetings, 6 project advisory committee meetings, 3 open house community events, and 1 groundbreaking. In October of 2014, Council approved the use of the alternate construction manager general contracting process. This allowed the city to integrate a community benefits plan into the project. The intent of the plan is to ensure that the benefits of the construction of the park accrue to the community as much as possible. The plan calls for an advisory committee with community representatives, including some from the Metropolitan Alliance of Workforce Equity, also known as MAUI, to review the performance of the general contractor based on the plan objectives and advise when needed. The goals include facilitating an increase in utilization of disadvantaged minority women and emerging small businesses as subcontractors and provides funding to assist these businesses to increase their performance and capacity for future projects. The plan also identifies a need for utilization of registered apprentices and minorities and women in the construction trades. This is paired with funding to support outreach and training programs for minorities and women, feeding the pipeline and the diverse workforce. As it calls for strategies that will support a diverse workforce, providing cultural competency training for managers and supervisors, as well as training workers how they can report on the job harassment, for example. The plan also supports investing in East Portland with a desire for the general contractor to hire East Portland businesses and workers for construction and requiring the tracking of performance. It requires the general contractor to specify how union and non-union and small family-owned businesses located in East Portland are providing contracting and goods and services to the project. This will help invigorate East Portland. Our purpose today is to ask Council to accept the guaranteed maximum price for the construction of the park by Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc. of $8,401,596. Stacy and Whitbeck has a teaming and mentoring agreement with Raymore Construction. At this time, Christine Moody, our Chief Procurement Officer, will discuss the Council procurement item. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. As Lauren stated, that Council authorized the exemption for the use of the construction manager general contractor solicitation process for the construction of the Lewitt View Beach Park project. Through this process, a request for proposal was issued. Among other things, this RFP included specific preference points for a prime contractor to partner or team with a certified DMWESB contractor. Stacy and Whitbeck is teaming with Raymore Construction, a minority-owned business, on this project. 5 responses to the RFP were received. The responses were evaluated by a 5-person selection committee, which included representatives from Portland Parks, Rose Community Development, and the Minority Evaluator Program. Stacy and Whitbeck is the highest scoring proposal. As mentioned earlier, there's a community benefits plan associated with this project, and working with the city, Stacy Whitbeck has committed to a 22% DMWESB subcontracting goal and a 25% for East Portland residents and businesses on this project. SWI will comply with the city's 20% apprenticeship requirements and PDC's minority and women workforce goals of 14% women and 29.5% people of color working on this project.
Questions?
I have 3 quick questions. One of the slides was of a children's play area. So is this going to be to the Harper's Playground specifications?
So the play, Britta, you want to answer it?
I guess another way of saying it,
sure.
Will this be to the highest existing levels of accessibility?
So we're making it an accessible playground, but we're not committing to the same level of the Harper's Playground.
And why is that?
I think it was because the department made, or the Bureau made, a commitment to have universally accessible Harper's playgrounds in the quadrants of the city, and Gateway was the one that was chosen for it.
But we're still going to try to achieve a high standard of accessibility.
Absolutely. It will
be.
All
our new parks, there's a level of accessibility. As Britta said, it's much more expensive to do the full-on, totally accessible, and so the community chose Gateway to have.
It also provides different opportunities for different types of children. So there's some things that, in the accessibility world, prohibit other types of play events, like nature play type events, that kind of thing.
But there'll be a Harper's Playground in Gateway.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Christine, who are the signatories to the CBP? And I'm thinking we went through this discussion recently on a Water Bureau project. So is it the contractor and the city?
That's correct. This is an exhibit to the contract with Stacy and Whitbeck. So
it's similar to the CBP we arranged for the Water Bureau, where the city and the contractor are the signatories, but there is an oversight body to make sure that we hit our numbers.
That's correct. There's no actual signatories to the plan.
Right. So the accountability piece remains with the city.
It remains with the city and the contractor. And then, as Lauren stated in her presentation, there is
an advisory committee
that reports to the commissioner.
And that's sort of where we landed on Washington Park. And I think that does put the accountability where it belongs, which is with the city. So I that makes sense.
And the contractor.
Well, the city ultimately, right?
Yes. Right.
And the other thing is, I remember when we worked on the fields, for the longest time, we had a placeholder name called the fields. And when it came time to naming it, the community said we wanted it to be called the fields. I'm old enough to remember this was called Beach. And that actually was Beach when I was the Parks Commissioner. So what's the evolution in terms of the name?
So we had a naming process after we had already started the project, actually. And that's when the committee, the group of people that were involved, decided on the naming of the park.
And, you know, my experience was with the fields, for example, the community was very bought into the existing name. They're very proprietary. So how did this name evolve? Because Norman, I mean, Beach has been the placeholder for so long, and it's also a place-based name.
Right, but our community outreach group convened a naming committee because it was very clear from the beginning that Beach was sort of the working name and that there would be a naming process that went in tandem with the design process. And so from my recollection, there wasn't a strong holding on to Beach. There were a couple of contenders for the final name, but...
And who was on the naming committee?
I am not sure of the exact... There were neighborhood representatives mostly. But I don't know exactly the names.
Mostly people from the community?
Yes.
Other questions?
And just as an ending note, after we had heard that the chosen name was Lewitt and then View, I asked, why isn't it all one word like Helen's View? And the explanation was because Lewitt is a native word and it wouldn't make sense to add an English word on the end of a native word. Also, that we had spelt it wrong.
Right.
That we were saying it was L-O-O, and it's actually L-U-U. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate very much all the community input that went into both the park design and the naming.
Good work. Thank you very much. And is there anyone who wants to speak on this item? So can I have a motion, please, to accept the report?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
When's the, not allowed to ask, but this will be completed?
In the fall next year, September 17th.
Another park delivered in East Portland by Commissioner Fritz. I hope I'm still standing and can join you. Hi.
No, thank you.
Really look forward to seeing the new park. Thank you so much. Bye. Hi.
No, thanks again to all of the staff and also the community members who are really joining together to make this a wonderful place. I very much appreciate this community benefits plan, and Commissioner Fish has been engaged in that process also. And also the Park Rose School District, it is next to Shaver Elementary School. Mm-hmm. Some of the folks wondering at home might have been wondering, why is it the figure of eight shape? And it's because the rest of the property, almost the rest of the property, is the school districts. So it's going to be a very seamless park amenity next to Shaver Elementary, and again, a great partnership with the Parkhurst High School, with the Parkhurst School District. So thanks to all of their folks, too. Aye.
Well, I had the privilege of representing Commissioner Fritz at the groundbreaking ceremony because you were out of town, and just got to tell you, the excitement there in the neighborhood for this project is really strong. And another particularly nice thing about that groundbreaking ceremony is that Dr. Alice Blatt was there, who's been advocating for parks in East Portland even longer than you have, Commissioner, because she's been at it for decades, and she was there. Dr. Gray, of course, from the school district was there. So there's a lot of some old friends of mine who I haven't seen in 10 years or more, Claire and Sharon Mershon, who moved to the neighborhood, were there. So it was like old home week for me. It was a lot of fun. And I think also, you know, when we think about what we've just done on the comprehensive plan, and remember that there's significant redevelopment planned for the adjacent property owned by the Rossi family that's going to be done in a very thoughtful new urbanist manner, the combination of a new park and a lot of new residents, along with those that have been waiting for this park for a long time, it's going to be pretty special, I think. Finally, it was particularly pleasing for me as somebody who's worked with the company involved, Stacy and Whitbeck, to see them branch out from rail construction into park construction. Some of you may or may not have worked with this company. I'll tell you one story. I think you'll be pleased with them as a contractor from my experience. I was the commissioner in charge of the Transportation Bureau when they were hired as a contractor to do the streetcar project, which involved 5 miles of track construction in the middle of the city. And during the entire course of that construction, I didn't get a single complaint from a property owner. Or a motorist or anybody else, but I did get a couple of unsolicited letters, one of which was from a storefront merchant on 12th or 10th, who said, you know, my delivery truck showed up and the construction was underway right in front of my business, and the Stacy and Whitbeck crew dropped their tools and unloaded my truck. So in terms of customer service and working with the neighborhood, I think you probably have a pretty good company to work with there. So I'm pleased to see that as well. So looking forward to seeing this great addition to the park system. Great work all around. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.